afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, and it's time once again for Garden Talk. Spring is here, and I welcome now from the UAS Cooperative Extension, Mr. Darren Snyder. Welcome back to the show, Darren.
Hey, thanks, Boston.
Excellent. So my first question, before we even get into it, we're going to talk about soil today, warming it, prepping it, doing all the things for it. But my first question for you, this is our first episode of Garden Talk for 2026. How does this winter that we had impact us in terms of, like, is the ground, like, really wet? Or I'm not a gardener, so inform me on what this, you know, record snowfall did for all the growers out there.
Yeah. So it kind of depends. I'll try not to say that too much, but it does really depend on where you are and what you've done. There are a number of things you can do in order to keep your soil drier, and even over a wet winter like this, if there was some plastic covering over your beds, then they're better off than those that had, especially that kind of longer lasting snow cover. So I think that as far as this winter goes, you know, it was just, you know, generally so brutal on all the trees and shrubs and all that ice and the snow that got wet and then just tore off all the branches and everything. So that's kind of the plants. But as far as the soil goes, you know, I can't say that I can think of, like, exactly how the soil itself was affected too much differently.
Especially if you prepped for the winter, right? If you were already a grower, if you haven't been a grower, maybe it'll be a little different for you. But like you said, it depends, mm-hmm. I guess, yeah. So we're talking about soil today and all the various aspects of that as people are – are people already sort of getting things in the ground? Are we already in that mode in the middle of May here?
Well, it depends.
Darren, it depends, Snyder.
Yes, there you go. So, yeah. One of the things that I'm noticing really dramatically, and unfortunately for me, being over on the dark side over in downtown Douglas compared to our friends over here on this side of the channel, the amount of sun that the afternoons have provided have really, you know, caused these gardens on the east side of the channel to really explode. And, you know, I've been watching the garlic that our friends at the high school that I got to put in with them last fall, and those are just enormous. They're like a foot plus tall, and just such, they're raging awesome.
Wow.
Bulbs coming up, and there's a big difference between locations but things are starting up. And things are starting to grow pretty well, depending where you are. And but, you know, especially the plants that are trying to overwinter, that we want to overwinter, every spring kind of has its own surprise. That's part of the fun of gardening, is kind of see what made it.
See what got through.
Yeah.
Now, you said you're on the sort of the mountainside, the sort of the darker side, less sun over mm-hmm. on Douglas. Mm-hmm. And does that make your summer a little bit later in terms of, you know, seeing things happen, or the growth of things take a little bit longer to stem because it doesn't have the vitamin D, as they say?
Yeah, it does. You know, there are some of our longtime champions, Susanna Sandy Williams, who for decades had very successful gardens in downtown Douglas. So, you know, we can't moan too much because it can be done. But a lot of it's just best practices, which, you know, I've got a lot of those to share with folks here. But there are ways to really maximize wherever you are what you can get out of your soil and how
cool.
you can kind of prepare it.
Well, let's talk soil in terms of, you know, fertilizing, prepping, warming. What are all the things that we need to – where do we want to start?
Yeah, I think a good place to start is what we call the soil type. And The texture is a technical term for when we're talking about like how much, what size particles are they? Are they sand? Are they silt? Are they clay? And that kind of like, as you say, you know, sand, we're all familiar with sand, and it's kind of gritty and, you know, sandy beach and everything else. And but silt is kind of, gets kind of slimy, and you can kind of feel that. You can, you know, the silt that we find in the like in the wetlands or something like that that have come out from the glacier, they feel kind of slippery and slimy, but they're actually, there's a bit more kind of size to them compared to clay particles, which are much smaller. So the reason why we pay attention to what the composition is of the mineral fraction, the mineral portion of the soil, is that it affects how water moves or doesn't move through it. Generally, of course, in Southeast Alaska, we're trying to get water to move through the soil. We're trying to, because it's there, you know, too much is the side of things that we get on. And so, if so you can do tests. You can do the jar test, which is kind of famous, where you kind of put some soil in a jar and you shake it up and you see what settles, and how fast it settles, and that gives you an idea of your percentages of these different materials. And that can kind of give you an idea. But you can also just see your soil. If your soil doesn't have much organic matter, so it's not, and it's kind of more gray than like darker brown, which organic matter will tend towards, then, you know, that gray soil, when you're looking at it, you can tell if it's kind of compacted. If water has a hard time getting through it, then you probably have pretty silty soil. And that's pretty common in the valley and other places where you're using some of that native soil that exists already. Or you might have ordered soil from a supplier that may not be a gardener themselves and not actually have the soil that you want to be working with. Whereas if you get soil from that is from you know, a source that is, you know, more of a garden soil source. I'm not going to name names. That's part of my job, is to be somewhat neutral on all this stuff. But there are, you do, buyer beware. You need to make sure that, especially if you're buying it, but even free is pretty expensive if you got the wrong stuff, because it can be, and I speak from experience, you know, whether it's, you know, free stuff can be really rocky, it can be highly silty, and you just have to really work it, whether you're sifting some of the larger rocks and gravel out, or you're ending up, because if you do have silty soil, it's not the end of the world. You just need to add a whole lot of organic matter is the best practice. You can add sand, but once you already have kind of a silty soil, then you're going to want to just add as much organic matter as you can get into that, which does help with the drainage. And again, you know, kind of back to that the goal with these soils is to allow water to move through them. And so if it's too silty, that will be a problem. Also, to help out with that, that's why we have raised beds generally in our gardens. You never, general practice is not to grow anything at grade level, whatever that the level is of your yard that you think of, like, oh, that's where your grass is or where you walk, that level, whatever you're growing. Whatever plants you're growing are going to want to be up above that grade level, because because otherwise the water is going to be settling where those roots are, and it's therefore colder. It therefore does not have as much oxygen going to those roots. Both of those are really important factors. And then all the biological activity that's in there also is colder and wetter. So raised beds are really important. What you're and how you're making those raised beds can make a difference too. If you have the luxury of having a lot of space and you don't actually need to have a or want to have kind of the classic wood-sided garden beds that we have, then the sun's heat can actually hit that soil on the side and warm it up a little bit more. but it's kind of a give and take. If you want it to be a little bit more kempt and kind of know where your garden starts and stops, then you might want to choose to have a garden bed.
Well, you were talking about, you know, the type of soil, and then you were just talking a little bit about the warming of the soil. Explain mm-hmm. that to me. Like, the sun mm-hmm. can do some of that, but then yeah. can I also do some of that? I love also the problem if your soil is too silty to add more organic material to it, mm-hmm. right, to help the water yeah. flow through.
Yep.
Okay, so then when I'm warming the soil, why am I warming the soil and how do I warm the soil?
Yeah, so basic biology is that the warmer it is to a degree, then the more biological activity there is. So those roots are going to be happier. The all the microorganisms that are in there consuming debris and excreting and making those nutrients available to the plants, it's all kicked into gear. It's like the magic and beauty of spring and summer is that there's just so much life going on. It's because of the heat that's coming from the, you know, coming from the sun. And so
is yeah. that tough here in Juneau? Because like these days when there's rain, like it's sometimes it's really cold.
And it's cold for us and it's cold for those plants.
Yeah.
It's cold for their tops. It's cold it's cold for their roots. So that's a good practice. You'll see, you know, best practices is to have some type of a cover over your garden bed at this point in the if you really want maximum production. And, you know, I know there's, of course, limitations when you're talking about larger plants. But if you're talking about garden beds, even some ornamentals, I think that my friend downtown, maybe she was just joking with them, but I saw that she had some umbrellas up over plants. But trying to keep them dry as well. But it was kind of fun.
Well, I think umbrellas are kind of cool because they could give a little bit of a design element to
yeah,
it, too.
Yeah, for
That's
sure.
kind of fun. I like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a sheet of plastic necessarily.
Right, but it does matter if you're really wanting to. Just like if you're imagining keeping yourself warm, tucked in bed, tucked in. You know, if you have a sheet of plastic directly on the surface of the soil, then there's not going to be a breeze that's going to be blowing that heat away. It's going to be kind of trapped in there. Same thing if you have a hoop, and then you seal it. On the edges, that heat's going to stay in there. The, you know, classic greenhouse effect going on. It really works. It's pretty amazing. So having those covers, whether it be right on the surface or over a hoop. And interestingly, you know, our assumption is that, you know, black plastic will attract heat. But what has been found is that having that clear plastic where the light rays can come through, especially the infrared can come through, then it actually heats up the soil and gets trapped underneath the plastic compared to black plastic where it just heats up the surface and doesn't come in.
Yeah, it bounces off.
There is special IRT, infrared transparent plastic also that you can buy. It's green and there are other colors as well, but it's like a super high tech plastic that you can get too if you're being really fancy and wanting to spend a little extra money.
I love that. Okay, that's cool. That's a good tip. Yeah. So black plastic, not as good as the other kind of plastic.
Yeah, clear.
And I was reading a little bit. Is there something about avoiding heavy early watering, like you don't want to overwater? Tell me a little bit about that before
we
go.
For sure. You know, I don't know anybody who's doing much watering right now.
Yeah.
But
you don't need to,
but
really.
With your watering, yeah, you do, because it's chilling. And and as well, it depends on the size of the plants, but it is something to consider is that, you know, young baby plants, smaller plants require less than the larger plants for nutrients as well as water. But the watering that you do, as many gardeners are aware, if you have a vessel like a rain barrel, then that water not only will be clear of chlorine, if I forget whether we're even chlorinating nowadays, but also it's warmer than what's going to come out of the hose. And so that's a factor. You definitely want to have it be, if you can, ambient temperature rather than what's coming out of the hose.
Awesome. Well, Darren, yeah. We're out of time for today. Garden Talk is just beginning. We'll be here all summer.
Yeah.
We'll talk about various different things over the course of the season. I really appreciate you coming on today. Thank you so much, Darren.
You're welcome, Boston. Happy growing.